Welcome to this week's Writer's Block. My guest is Hannah from Pages, Places and Plates. Welcome back. How is everything with you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, busy as always.
Right, the two books you've chosen this month are both fiction. We've got Slow Down by Lee Matthew Goldberg from Pulp Press and For Love or Money by Clodagh Murphy from Bellali Books. Is that right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Excellent. Before we start, why only two books this time?
Well, that was the original plan, was to just have two books a month. I don't know if you remember when we first started this ages ago.
It was about a year and a half ago.
I planned to just have two a month, and then something happened. So, yeah, I'm going back to trying to have two a month, because that's a little bit easier on my schedule. But, yeah, the other ones were all supposed to be anomalies.
You know why it ended up being more than two, don't you?
Because I'm mad.
Well, that too. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that part. No, it's because there's so many brilliant books out there.
I know. And there's so many good authors as well that contact me, and then I just want to read the books and get them out there. So, so I think obviously this situation has slowed things down a little bit. So I've managed to get back in, well, it took about a year, but I finally got into the schedule that I'd originally planned for the blog. So
excellent stuff. Okay, then. Brilliant. So, right, let's start. We've got Slow Down. What's that about?
Yeah. So Slow Down is, I'm not really sure how to fully categorise it in genre terms, but it's a very kind of noir, dark sort of book. It's a bit of a thriller in a way. And I'd say I have said in my review, it's very similar to Fight Club. I've seen lots of people compare it to Fight Club, actually. Oh. Very similar vibes going on there. But it's also very similar to a book called The Dice Man. I don't know if you've read that. But it's a very dark, satirical, noir book, basically. So Slow Down is really for readers that like that sort of book. They like things dark. They like satire and that sort of thing. So it's quite an interesting book. So we follow the main character, Noah, and he is basically doing whatever it takes to become a successful film director, and by whatever it takes I don't mean he's like studying really hard or born fat. He's basically found someone he idolizes, another director who happens to not be a very nice man, and he's kind of doing what he can to take his life for his own. Gosh. If that makes sense.
So
he's infiltrating his life, and he's a really interesting main character, because he's the kind of guy who will just do things. It doesn't matter how they affect other people. And he's really the sort of character you'd expect to be an antagonist. He's very complex. He's got lots of traits that I perhaps wouldn't relate to, and I hope many other people wouldn't relate to. but he's still really well written in a way that you find yourself rooting for him.
Wow.
And I think maybe it's because he's the lesser of two evils, but there are some moral parts to him. Admittedly, you have to search, but there are some things that we actually kind of latch onto as a reader, and we really still want to see him succeed in a way.
Gosh, so a lot of it is about identity then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's a real social commentary as well. So the book's set in New York, and there's a big commentary on there. And there's a lot of about drugs and kind of the underground scene and that sort of thing. And it's also a real social commentary on the elite as well, in particular, particularly within media. So it's a very, I don't know, the word, I guess it's very candid, a very blunt book, not for people who don't like language or sex or violence or negative things. Probably would stay clear of that if that's not you. But it is a really, really interesting book, and the messages that it portrays are quite powerful.
Crumbs, it sounds like a really heavy book. How did the author get in touch with you?
This was a blog tour, actually, through Blackthorn Books. And I've actually signed up to do another one of his as well, because I just really liked this, and then he's got another book coming out that just sounds absolutely fascinating as well. So that was kind of how I found it, and I've said obviously my schedule's gone down, I finally have time to sign up to blog tours again, And that was something that I hadn't been able to do because I just had so many books coming at me. Was in contact with the author afterwards as well. We did kind of communicate over Instagram. So that was nice that he kind of read my review.
From the title, Slow Down, was the writing as pacey as you were expecting it to be?
It's really pacey. It's Slow Down is kind of a reference that makes sense when you read it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of a commentary, isn't it? Because of that fast-paced, crazy world that media people live in, especially in the elite side of things. The title's really relevant to the book and it becomes even more relevant as you read.
Which character did you warm to?
That's an interesting question with this one, because there are some very interesting characters. So obviously you've got Noah, you've got Dominic Bamback, who's the director he's following. Definitely didn't warm to him. So he's the director. His wife, Isadora, was very interesting, and I did warm to her in parts. But as with all the other characters, you then see some colours and you think, nah, I don't like her. But then you see other colours and you're like, oh, no, actually, I do. And so she was a really interesting character. I wouldn't say I warmed to her, but I found her very fascinating because of the role she plays in bringing Noah into the household, and that sort of thing. And also there's a character called Nevi, who is a childhood friend of Noah, and she's actually having an affair with the director, and that's from the beginning. That's not spoilers. It just adds a whole strange dynamic to it, and she's a really complex character. Nevi and Isadora were my favourite characters to follow, I'd say. But to be honest, I didn't like any of the characters. There's no character in the book that I think, oh, I'd like to go for a drink with them.
Do you think that's the point?
Which, again, makes it really interesting. And that is the sort of thing that a writer could completely fail with, but the author's done it perfectly.
What did you like about it and what didn't you like about it?
The thing I most liked about it was the descriptive language. I wish I'd actually written some quotes down, but it's really descriptive and absorbing. So the language, like, he describes really mundane things with just a really interesting perspective, and it will literally be like some really dull thing that's been noticed while walking down the street, and he just has a way of bringing it to life and making it almost poetic. As for, I don't really know what I didn't enjoy about it, because I just really liked it.
Did you think the cover portrayed the content?
Yeah, it did. There were two covers, actually, because the one that I had seen initially was a different cover, it was white with a yellow spot on the front.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
Some bloody hands, and that's understandable when you read it. That will not make sense at all until you've read the book. And I liked that cover. But I think I liked the other one as well, with the street, because I think that kind of portrayed what the book was about more.
Right, well, that's our first book then. Let's move on to our second one, For Love or Money, by Clodagh Murphy. Well, tell us about this one.
This is a really good book. So my favourite kind of niche genre, apart from thrillers, is Irish chick lit.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I just love Irish authors. I think they have just such a brilliant sense of humour, and Clodagh Murphy is Irish, and this is a chick lit book. So this one had a really interesting premise. So we follow Leslie, I think she's late 20s, and she is single, and she's quite happily single, and she's very firm in her beliefs that if you meet someone and you don't hit it off straight away, then nah, there's nothing there. And so she goes, she's kind of quite happy where she is, but people are bothering her about it, you know, like her mom, her friends and stuff. So she goes along to this speed dating event and meets this man called Al, who seems quite interested in her, and she's not really. And then he kind of disappears, but then he ends up back in her life. And oh, I forgot to say, so she pretends that she just for the fun, she pretends that she's a detective when she goes there. She pretends that that's her job and that she does things like honey trap jobs and stuff like that. So, and it's just as a laugh. She doesn't do this at all. She does nothing like that. And then Al kind of comes back into her life later, and he asks her to investigate something because there's a potential gold digger in his family, and his family are very famous, very well known. And there's a sudden proposal that happened with his elderly uncle, and they're concerned about the fiance because she's really young. There's like 50 years difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Leslie to go undercover as his girlfriend on holiday with them and find out what's going on, basically become friends with Stella the woman and work out whether she's a gold digger or not. And obviously she does explain that that isn't something she does, but then temptation kind of takes over and she's like, no, I think I will. So she goes on holiday and pretends to be Al's girlfriend, and it's really good. It was just a really great idea for a novel.
You know, it's the coming together of the two identities, but the relationship that occurs during it. I love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The cover was another bright one I noticed.
Did
that help you make the decision to read it?
It did, actually, yeah. I thought it was just a really good cover and it was perfect for it. And it did remind me of other covers in the Irish chick lit genre,
mm-hmm.
So it fitted very well.
So you're obviously, you know, beaming about this book. I can hear the smile on your face. What didn't you like about it?
What didn't I like? I mean, it was a tiny bit predictable. I usually find with chick lit novels, there'll be a question on the back, like, will they do this? And then the answer is yes.
yeah.
Always. but that's kind of just to be expected within the genre. So that, and also I think because I've read so many now, I always know what's going on. But there were some things that I did not predict, or I'd narrowed it down to maybe two or three things that was going to be the twist, but I didn't actually have a solid guess for it. So yeah, that was good, I think, actually.
When you're in a particular mood and you read a book like that, it's the reliability of that mm-hmm. draws you in, isn't it? What was your favourite bit in it?
There was so much I liked about it. I loved it when they eventually went off on holiday. I think my favourite bit was the character development, actually, now I'm thinking about it. Very strong interactions between characters to build that development. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a few characters in it. I mean, the family that she stayed with in Nice is fairly big. But all of the characters were developed really well. They all had some sort of backstory that was going on and some sort of subplot, but it wasn't complicated or confusing.
Have they written more?
Yes, this is. She's written a few other novels, and I'm presuming there's more. I hope there's more. so I would like to read some of her older stuff as well.
Right, so you wanted to talk about some tea.
Yeah, so I know that's a bit random, but I thought listeners might enjoy this, as I'm presuming most of the people listening in, if not all, are avid readers. So, and hopefully some people here drink tea as well. So I've done a post recently. I collaborated with a UK tea brand called Miss Tea Smith. The owner is a woman called Uma, and she has a long history with tea, and she creates these really gorgeous tea blends that she's really into pairing tea with food and other things, and we collaborated to see how we could pair her tea blends with different book genres, because I think it's not something I've done in like deliberately before, but I think sometimes you kind of maybe subconsciously choose a drink that's or food that's going to go with your book. And we wanted to see if, like, doing it more deliberately, we wanted to see how that would pan out. So I just wanted to kind of let people know that it might be worth having a look at my post if you are into tea and you want to think about genres, because we did some really interesting pairings, like so for Love or Money that I've just spoken about, we paired that with a specific kind of romance tea that she's put together. I had one, a really nice one she did, it's like an orange, a blood orange Earl Grey.
Mm-hmm.
It's really rich, lovely tea, and so I paired that with you know, The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry.
Oh, yeah.
I started reading that and that worked really well, and we were pairing different foods with them as well, which was really interesting. It did mean that I've kind of got 7 books that I'm currently reading now. And I was actually setting up a reading experience that would really complement what I was reading.
Right, so what are the details if authors or indeed anyone else wants to get in touch with you?
Yeah, if anyone wants to get in touch, best way is to email me. Email address is hannah@pagesplacesandplates.com. If you want to read any of my posts or like the one I've just spoken about or any other reviews, my website is just pagesplacesandplates.com.
There's a policy on your website, isn't there, for authors?
Yes, there is. Yeah, for any authors that do have something that you'd like me to review, please check my reviews policy first, just because there's a few genres that I don't review for various reasons, and then just to make sure your book really suits before you get in contact, basically.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Hannah. Take care.
No worries. Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.